Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 31. You'll recall in the previous chapter, various people were doing various things in order to try and manipulate outcomes, including peeling bark off of branches in order to try and produce speckled and streaked animals, because they thought that if the animals bred in front of such a sight, that it would influence the outcome. In this chapter, the scripture makes it very clear that it was not Jacob's methodology, it was the sovereignty of God that brought about the desired result. Genesis chapter 31, this is God's word. "Now Jacob heard what Laban's sons were saying. 'Jacob has taken all that was our father's and has built his wealth from what belonged to our father.' And Jacob saw from Laban's face that his attitude toward him was not the same as before. The Lord said to him, 'Go back to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you.' Jacob had Rachel and Leah called to the field where his flocks were. He said to them, 'I can see from your father's face that his attitude toward me is not the same as before. But the God of my father has been with me. You know that with all my strength I have served your father, and that he has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God has not let him harm me. If he said, 'The spotted sheep will be your wages,' then all the sheep were born spotted. If he said, 'The streaked sheep will be your wages,' then all the sheep were born streaked. God has taken away your father's herds and given them to me. When the flocks were breeding, I saw in a dream that the streaked, spotted, and speckled males were mating with the females. In that dream, the angel of God said to me, 'Jacob,' and I said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Look up and see, all the males that are mating with the flocks are streaked, spotted, and speckled. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you poured oil on the stone marker and made a solemn vow to me. Get up, leave this land and return to your native land.' Then Rachel and Leah answered him, 'Do we have any portion or inheritance in our father's family? Are we not regarded by him as outsiders? For he has sold us and has certainly spent our purchase price. In fact, all the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. So do whatever God has said to you.' So Jacob got up and put his children and wives on the camels. He took all the livestock and possessions he had acquired in Paddan Aram, and he drove his herds to go to the land of Canaan, to his father Isaac. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household idols, and Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean, not telling him that he was fleeing. He fled with all his possessions, crossed the Euphrates, and headed for the hill country of Gilead. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. So he took his relatives with him, pursued Jacob for 7 days, and overtook him in the hill country of Gilead. But God came to Laban the Aramean in the night, in a dream at night. 'Watch yourself,' God warned him. 'Don't say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. When Laban overtook Jacob, Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban and his relatives also pitched their tents in the hill country of Gilead. Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You have deceived me and taken my daughters away like prisoners of war. Why did you secretly flee from me, deceive me, and not tell me? I would have sent you away with joy and singing, with tambourines and lyres. But you didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters. You have acted foolishly. I could do you great harm. But last night, the God of your father said to me, 'Watch yourself. Don't say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' Now, you've gone off because you long for your father's family. But why have you stolen my gods?" Jacob answered, "I was afraid, for I thought you would take your daughters from me by force. If you find your gods with anyone here, he will not live. Before our relatives, point out anything that is yours and take it." Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the idols. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, Leah's tent, and the tents of the two concubines, but he found nothing. When he left Leah's tent, he went into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken Laban's household idols, putting them in the saddlebag of the camel, and sat on them. Laban searched the whole tent, but found nothing. She said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I am having my period." So Laban searched, but could not find the household idols. Then Jacob became incensed and brought charges against Laban. "What is my crime?" he said to Laban. "What is my sin that you have pursued me? You've searched all my possessions. Have you found anything of yours? Put it here before my relatives and yours, and let them decide between the two of us. I've been with you these 20 years. Your ewes and female goats have not miscarried, and I've not eaten the rams from your flock. I did not bring you any of the flock torn by wild beasts. I myself bore the loss. You demanded payment from me for what was stolen by day or by night. There I was. The heat consumed me by day, and the frost by night, and sleep fled from my eyes. For 20 years in your household I served you, 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flocks. And you have changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had not been with me, certainly now you would have sent me off empty-handed. But God has seen my affliction and my hard work, and he issued his verdict last night." Then Laban answered Jacob, "The daughters are my daughters, the sons are my sons, and the flocks, my flocks. Everything you see is mine. What can I do today for these daughters of mine or for the children they have borne? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I. Let it be a witness between the two of us." So Jacob picked out a stone and set it up as a marker. Then Jacob said to his relatives, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a mound, then ate there by the mound. Laban named the mound Jagar Sahadutha, but Jacob named it Galeed. Then Laban said, "This mound is a witness between you and me today." Therefore the place was called Galeed, and also Mizpah. For he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are out of each other's sight. If you mistreat my daughters or take other wives, though no one is with us, understand that God will be a witness between you and me." Laban also said to Jacob, "Look at this mound and the marker I've set up between you and me. This mound is a witness, and the marker is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this mound to you, and you will not pass beyond this mound and this marker to do me harm. The God of Abraham and the gods of Nahor, the gods of their father, will judge between us." And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and invited his relatives to eat a meal. So they ate a meal and spent the night on the mountain. Laban got up early in the morning, kissed his grandchildren and daughters, and blessed them. Then Laban left to return home. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We have said before that Jacob was not a good guy. He just wasn't. He was a deceiver. And yet God had chosen Jacob to be the one through whom he would continue the line that would bring salvation to the earth. In this passage, we see that indeed he continued to be treated unfairly by his father-in-law, Laban, who it turns out was, like Jacob, a deceiver. And so in this account, it says very clearly, Jacob deceived Laban by sneaking off, taking everybody and fleeing without giving word to his father-in-law. That was deceitful. But he was deceiving a man who's going to complain, hey, you deceived me. When this is the father-in-law who, after he'd worked 7 years to get to marry Rachel, married Leah, her sister, to him. So this is the pot calling the kettle black. This is a deceiver upset at being deceived by a deceiver. Please understand this. God calls us to truth, to integrity. We're supposed to be honest people. But don't be surprised if not everybody follows that standard. The Bible says, gives a list of who all's going to be burning in the lake of fire. And there's one group that gets special emphasis. All liars. All liars. Doesn't say all murderers. But God says, and all liars. It is not worth lying. It is not worth it.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
To learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood, visit wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, in this story, we know that Laban has been deceitful. And here we see Jacob, who we already knew from previous accounts, was a deceitful fellow, again practicing deceit, even as he practices obedience to God. Is that an interesting juxtaposition? On the one hand, he's deceitful toward Laban, who has been deceitful toward him, but the thing he was going to do was not an evil thing. He was obeying God by leaving Laban. Sometimes, even in the midst of our doing the right thing, we can manage to not trust God fully. I'll trust God this much. I'll do what God says here, but I'm not going to do what God says the way that God says we're supposed to live. Be careful of that. I have to be careful of that in my life. That I want to do what God says, but sometimes my obedience is partial. It is obedience in this area without really doing things fully in a way that honors God. Verse 3 of chapter 31, the Lord said to him, go back to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. That's the promise. I will be with you. You do this, and I'll be with you. And so Jacob begins trying to explain to his wives why he's going to take them away from their roots. And in the midst of it, he gives full praise to God for what has happened with his prosperity. Imagine if you were Laban. Laban said early on, we see that God is with you. You know, God's blessed because you're here. And that was correct. But now imagine if you're Laban, 10 times he changed wages. Why? Because every time he changed it, God changed the outcome. 10 times he changed his wages. Wouldn't you think at some point it would occur to him, I'm going against God here. But he was determined. He was used to being able to lie and cheat and manipulate and get his own way. Let me tell you something. I don't care who you are or how smart you are or how hard you work at it. You can never outsmart God. You can never thwart his plan. No weapon that is formed against the Lord is going to prosper. When God starts dealing with you, if he's up to something, and I've seen him do it in my own life, and I've seen him do it in the lives of others, he will do what it takes in order to get you where he wants. And when he does, blessed be the name of the Lord. Smartest thing you can do is stop fighting and say, God, have your way. I want your will in my life. Well, verse 9, God has taken away your father's herds and given them to me. God said to me in a dream through an angel, verse 12, I've seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel. Get up, leave this land, and return to your native land. Rachel and Leah answered, hey, we're with you. And so, they sneak off. But before they do, Rachel does something. She steals her father's household idols. Now, I thought one of the main reasons why Jacob was supposed to marry one of these girls was because their household knew about the God of Israel. So I thought, you know, this was supposed to be people of faith. These were people of faith, but they had an eclectic approach to theology. In addition to worshiping the God who is God, they also worshiped these other gods. They were still tied to stuff that was demonic. And please understand that that is the case with many today. There are people, and you'll see it throughout Israel's history, there are people who know that God is God, but they also want to have these other gods. God is a jealous God. He says you're to have no other gods before me. Now, they didn't have the Ten Commandments yet. But I want to remind you who have the Ten Commandments that you're not to have any other gods. Nothing else is to be God's rival. Jesus even says you've got to hate father and mother. Our devotion to him has got to be so exclusive that there are no rivals. God alone. So she stole her father's household idols, and then they fled, crossed the Euphrates, and headed for the hill country of Gilead. It was 3 days before Laban found out that they'd fled. So Jacob had a 3-day head start, and Laban still caught up with him. And right when he's about to catch him, God says, watch yourself. You know? What that says is, you better be careful because you don't know what you're doing. God said, don't say anything to him, good or bad. Okay? Just watch yourself. and keep your mouth closed. So Laban catches up and he says, you've deceived me, you've wronged me. Why did you steal my household gods? Jacob knew he was innocent. I didn't take anybody's household gods. What are you talking about? He says, you search, and if you find them, whoever stole them is going to die. Who'd stolen them? The favorite daughter, favorite wife, Rachel. So what does she do? She acts again as a deceiver. She sits on them, saying, I'm sorry I can't get up. Hope you understand. It's my time of the month. And her dad says, oh, well, yeah, okay, never mind. So at that point, Jacob becomes very angry. What is my sin? What is my crime? You've searched all my possessions. Have you found anything of yours? Put it here before my relatives and yours and let them decide between the two of us. I've been with you these 20 years. Your ewes and female goats have not miscarried, and I've not eaten the rams from your flock. I did not bring you any of the flock torn by wild beasts. I myself bore the loss. In other words, while he was watching his father-in-law's animals, if an animal got killed, he would replace it with one from his own flock. You demanded payment from me for what was stolen by day or by night. And here's the real, get out your violins. Verse 40. There I was. The heat consumed me by day and the frost by night, and sleep fled from my eyes. I haven't slept well in 20 years because of you. You ever feel like that? Do you think really that that's the way it was all the time, every day for 20 years? I doubt that. I just doubt that. Jacob, like us, had the capacity to keep a list of wrongs. Love doesn't do that. But he'd kept a list. And he went through and he said, it's so terrible. Verse 42, he gives praise to God and says, that's where my confidence is. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac had not been with me, certainly now you would have sent me off empty-handed. He says, the only reason I've got anything is because God has protected me and I sneaked away. So they made a covenant. And the covenant was to say, I'm not going to harm you and you're not going to harm me. Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. That's verse 53, but it references back to verse 42. The God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had not been with me. So he swore by the God who is God. And then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain, invited his relatives to eat a meal. So they ate a meal and spent the night on the mountain. Laban got up early in the morning, kissed his granddaughter and daughters and blessed them, and then Laban left to return home. Now, if you and I want to have a healthy, biblical family, we've got to realize that it's not, God is one of the most important things. Our trust has got to be in God alone. We've got to depend on Him, and our determination and focus has got to be on doing His will. If you depend on the Lord, trust in Him, do what He says, then you can let the chips fall where they may. And if your relatives say, that's tremendous, you're an inspiration to us, it's wonderful. And if they say, you are a kook, why would you live that way? You just say, I'm sorry, you don't understand. And you keep doing what God tells you. Obey the Lord. Don't let family keep you from doing what God says to do.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.